Just after 4:45 on Afternoon Drive, coming to you live from Cape Town this afternoon, ahead of that all-important address the President is going to give. And of course, we know one of the main issues he is going to be focusing on is unemployment. I want to draw attention to the issue of youth unemployment, because it is such a worrying issue. It's at an all-time high, sitting at about 50% right now in the country. And we're seeing an increasing number of severely disillusioned young job seekers who eventually just stop looking for work after a while. And although there are more young people in the country than in previous years, 400,000 fewer of them had been employed by last year. So very worrying figures indeed. Now, Anne Bernstein is the Executive Director of the Center for Development and Enterprise. And Anne, I want to welcome you to the program and thank you for your patience with us. It's been a very fluid show, so we appreciate your being flexible about what time you came on. But I want to get to the bottom of this with you. What do you believe are the key reasons we're facing such high unemployment rates in the country?
Certainly, there are a number of reasons. First and most important, we have a terrible education system. So very many young people come out of our schooling system without, really not educated well at all. So you get a bad education. And then the second most important reason, the country is struggling to grow. So with a low-growth economy or stagnant economy, we don't create jobs. In fact, we retrench people. And then within that, we have tended to go for an approach to growth which is high skill and high capital intensive. And the idea was we would pay people more because of our apartheid history. The problem is that we have so many millions of young people who, through no fault of their own, have never worked, often come from communities where and families where people aren't working, and they aren't high skilled. And we have to create jobs. We have to have an economy that's labor intensive and creates jobs for the workforce we actually have, not the one we wish we had.
Right. So what sort of jobs are we talking about here, Anne?
Well, for South Africa to have a much more inclusive economy and pull many more people out of unemployment and poverty, we have to look at labor-intensive manufacturing. This has been a key factor in countries all over Asia, China. The big success stories of the last 30, 40 years have started there. They didn't end there, but they started there with these low-wage, low-skilled jobs, making you and my T-shirt, and then you graduate to making a men's shirt and so on. So
yes.
Factory jobs that might not start off as great jobs, but they don't end there. But also tourism. There are a lot of, I think less than people anticipate, but certainly if we could grow our tourism, there should be lots of low-skilled jobs there. And we just don't seem to get the visa situation right, so we're holding back on that. So those are just two examples where we could have a lot more labor-intensive jobs for people who haven't worked before.
Right. And it's a difficult thing because there's a kind of psychology attached to poverty and the apartheid history of this country. And it goes something like this. It says my mother was a domestic worker, or my father had to clean someone's garden in order to, you know, to make a living, in order for us to survive. We are not going to follow in those footsteps. We are not going to do menial jobs or the kind of labor-intensive jobs that you may just have described. You know, I want to come out of university and I want to walk into a high-profile job, and I want to earn a lot of money. I do not want to be relegated to a part of the working world that falls into the lower quintiles. How do we reconcile the psychology of young people in South Africa with what we are actually able to achieve in terms of job creation?
Well, firstly, we need to distinguish between who's talking, and you're right, that is a familiar narrative. Who's talking like that? And if those are young people at university, who are a tiny minority, after all, a growing number of people,
yes.
Hopefully, if the economy starts to grow, we will go back to about 2014, where we had no graduate unemployment, effectively. If you actually got a degree, you would get a job in a modestly growing economy. So that's I never hear that story from young people who haven't finished matric or just got a matric and do not have an opportunity or the marks to go to tertiary, you know, university education. They are saying, I want a chance, I want an opportunity for a job. And we can see this when there are low-skill jobs advertised, the employers often get thousands and thousands of people applying for a tiny number of jobs. So what has happened is the people with very loud voices, whether it's trade unions or more educated young people at universities, are saying all sorts of things, and they're entitled to that. But that's very different from all those young people, millions and millions of young people, the 80% of people in Bushbuck Ridge who don't have a job. They're not saying that. They're saying, I want a job. I don't want to be dependent on my granny and her grant. I need a job so I can become an adult. So we need to distinguish between loud voices and all those people we never hear from. And South Africa, you know, doesn't listen hard to the many, many people who are not employed and who do not have tertiary education.
You know, that's a very important distinction I think you've made there. But Anne, let's draw on an earlier point that you made, and it's about the issue of how government actually governs the awarding of jobs or how jobs are managed in this country. We've got payment structures that are in place in the form of the minimum wage agreement. We've got labor laws around these jobs, and of course that has also arisen out of a history of workers being treated unfairly. So how does government balance that fair treatment of workers with creating jobs and not limiting what young people are able to do or at what level they're able to enter the workplace?
Well, we've made a number of suggestions. The issue isn't the national minimum wage or a minimum wage. It's whether it's got to be exactly the same all over the country or whether we actually do what we used to do, which is have sectoral minimum wages. And then the question is, what level you set that wage? We've set it extremely high compared to what most workers in formal jobs are earning. So you've got to be very realistic about that. What are our suggestions? Well, they range from the realities of South Africa. If we can't have national change of the labor laws, let's try an export processing zone in, for example, Nelson Mandela Bay. We have invested resources in Kucha. We could open that up for an export processing zone for low-skill manufacturing. I've recently been in Ethiopia, where this is a very poor country, and international factories are starting to locate there in places where they're nowhere near a port, whereas in PE you would have not one but two underutilized ports, and there are no modern facilities, roads, packing industry, all sorts of things that South Africa could offer tomorrow. So we think it's possible you could do something like that, and perhaps in that way we could show that we can attract investment into these kinds of factories if we get the environment right. We're also saying that, you know, perhaps young entrepreneurs should be offered exemptions from certain regulations if they can get a firm going and employ South Africans. We do favor the employment tax incentive, but we would certainly add to that much looser regulation to allow employers to get rid of people more easily. But there are a number of practical things that we could be doing. We need to change our collective bargaining approach. But we have to say, this whole discussion has been held hostage by the ANC and its alliance with the trade unions. And actually, those unions represent a smaller and smaller proportion of the South African workforce.
Very interesting indeed. They certainly don't represent the unemployed. Anne Bernstein, thank you so much for speaking to us. She is Executive Director of the Center for Development and Enterprise.